We're on number 48 of the 48 ways. And number 48 of the 48 ways reads, Hamachkim es rabo. Hamachkim means to make smart. Es rabo, his teacher. What does it mean to make your teacher smart? Any ideas? What do you say?
Question him, keep him on his toes.
That's one aspect, right? Don't swallow what he has to say. Get him to articulate. Get him to explain. Get him to focus on where he is not clear. That's making him smart. Yeah? But there's another aspect of making him smart, and that's the first aspect we're going to discuss, and that is you've got to make him smart in your own eyes, which means give him some credit. Accept the fact that he has something to say. The second aspect is get him smart by asking him questions, keeping him on his toes. Now, I'd like to focus you with a story, you know, an idea to focus you on what we're trying to do. So, somebody tells you, if I told you right now, look, that's your chair, let's say, right? That's your table. I'll turn it into solid gold. What would you say? Go ahead, fine, right? You wouldn't say, that's ridiculous, it can't be done. I've never heard of such a thing. That's absolutely outrageous. And say, yeah, friend, go ahead, right? Now you say, that's outlandish, nobody does such a thing, right? But the idea is that when we're talking about something that we want, why not? For goodness sake, solid gold, go ahead, yeah? So the question is wisdom, is meaning, is life, is pleasure, as valuable as the money that you hope to spend on getting some pleasure, some life, some wisdom? I mean, what are you going to do with one? You're going to go out and buy some happiness? You hope will make you happy. Treat it in the same way. Okay, so how do we go about it? Roman numeral one, the first aspect of make him smart, is number one of this, is the point of making him smart is where you disagree, where he is stepping on your prejudice, where he is going contrary to your opinion. When he's right on your prejudice, no problem. We will go along with him right on, you're telling me, you know, where he is on to your desire, no problem. The idea of making him smart, when is it important? When it's against your inclination, it's against your desire, it's against your prejudice, what he's telling you, what he's teaching you about life. The idea is at that time, that's when you need to make him smart. Okay, so number two is, how do you make him smart? So when you feel, you would like to think that you're happy enough. You can't teach me how to be happy. Why? What's wrong? I don't feel like doing work. I don't like this idea that I can't wait for the new Pac-Man game to come out and then I'll be happy. Yeah. I don't like this idea that it's work. What's your prejudice? Otherwise, why not? Do you see that? Why not? So when a teacher hits on your prejudice, then you've got to overrule it and say to yourself, this man has got some knowledge, he knows something, he knows what he's talking about, he has a point of view, let me hear it. The guy gives you a tip on the stock market, he's a wealthy man, let me hear what he has to say, where does it come from, let me hear it. Whether you'll buy or not, that's secondary. But at least consider that he has something worthwhile to say. Number three is that for goodness sake, never dismiss what your teacher has to say by saying it's ridiculous, you can't do it, you can't define love. It's like dismissing, I'll turn the table into gold. You can't do it. Never dismiss it. And this is a natural, you've taught yourself dismissing what people had to say to you when they say something that's against your... what you're used to, don't do it anymore. B of this is that you will most probably say ridiculous when it's most important that you listen. When we're hitting on a prejudice which you should get rid of, that's when we most probably won't even give a man a hearing. We won't even listen to him. And that's when we most need to listen to him. So C of this is, remember, if the man has taught you something, we're talking about a teacher, If he's taught you something, he is likely to be just as smart as you are. He's not going to say something that's ridiculous. And when you are prejudiced, when you're upset by what he says, you're not as smart as you usually are. So, if a man has got something, and he's taught you something, he has some wisdom, see, he's not as smart as you, but when you're prejudiced, you're not being smart. So, override that ridiculous, it's impossible, can't be, I know better. Override it. Number four, that in order to do this well, in an accomplished, professional manner, you have to have a deep appreciation you're making some mistakes. You're not perfect. Maybe, in this case, you're making the mistake. Maybe you don't know what you think you know. Can't prove that there's a God? Are you sure? You have proof that it can't be proven? Maybe you're making the mistake. B of this is, definitely, certainly, if you're not so sure that you're right, you're not so sure that you can't define love, or that you can't know what you're living for, or that you can't prove God, yeah, you're not that sure, you don't have proof. So what are you saying? Ridiculous. A man's talking, he says, I can do it, yeah? It's silly. And C of this is, it's particularly important when you realize that perhaps you have a sneaking suspicion, or you really think it can be done. Yeah. You really think that the other guy is right, and you'll say it's ridiculous. That's really the power of schizophrenia that's within us. Yeah. We can say it's ridiculous when we have a sneaking suspicion that the guy is going to tell me something which makes sense, which is true. It's very important, otherwise you're defeating yourself. All right, number five is that in Judaism we say if you have a real teacher, what is a real teacher? Somebody who's taught you a lot of wisdom, somebody who's consistently taught you things that make sense, then never really dismiss what he has to say even after you've given him a hearing, unless you've convinced him that he's wrong. Give him another chance. Think it over. Tackle him again. Machkemes Rabbo, he's as smart as you. Who's making the mistake? But whatever he says to you, it's ridiculous, you've proved it, you've got the evidence, he's wrong. If he hasn't agreed with you, then what's wrong? You go back. That's Jewish, that's the discipline of having a teacher. Because you know that he's as smart as you, and you're not quite sure that you're right and he's wrong, even though you're sure, but not absolutely sure. So you got to tackle him again, and it's also a question of loyalty, but that's a different one of the 48 ways. Question of loyalty, he's helped you so much. Help him a little. He's given you wisdom. But here it's Machkemes Rabbo, make him smart. He's smart. He's taught you. Don't dismiss what he has to say. Number six is that if you have a real teacher, somebody who's a wise man, then the rabbis tell us that you will never completely understand him up till 40 years. That's their expression, 40 years. I don't know if they mean exactly 40 years or they mean... That means that a wise man is deep. Is deep. He's got something. So you don't fully understand. You keep on going, thinking it over. What did he mean? That's even if you agree with him. Don't think that you've gotten his full message. You really appreciate what he has to say till 40 years later. That's what the rabbis say. It certainly gives you an implication. It gives you an appreciation that keep on digging. B of this is, especially and the wise men of the Talmud, in the Mishnah, in Machkemes Rabbo, in the 48 ways. And what do they mean by this? What exactly do they mean? There's a thousand different aspects you haven't thought of. There's deepness to it. And you've got to keep digging, keep learning. In Jewish consciousness, we learn that all our lives. And we grow from it. Number seven is the same thing goes as far as Jewish concepts is, in Pirkei Avot and Ethics of Our Fathers, the rabbis say, Al tihi boz l'chol odom. V'al tihi mafik v'chol dovo. She'en lach adam, she'en lo sha'o, ve'en lach dovo, she'en lo mokom. Don't argue with anything. Be buzz means contemptuous of any man's opinion. You don't know. Mikol malamdai hiskalti, from all those who taught me, I learned. Human beings have wisdom. It's not your teacher. But don't say the idiot, the fool. Try to understand another human being. Machkim es rabbi. A man's trying to teach you, give him some credit. He has a point of view. Try to understand where he's coming from, where his mistake is, what he does see. Search for what he appreciates, what he understands. Certainly, if you are prejudiced. But in any case, give a man a good hearing. It's hard to do when you think you know things. The rabbis say, it's a smart thing to do, it's stupid not to. A human being's got wisdom. A technique for doing this, which will help you tremendously in your conversations with friends or people who are trying to tell you something, is play the devil's advocate. You know what the devil's advocate is? Be a lawyer. Be a lawyer in his defense. You don't agree with him, but give me 10 reasons that he's right. Yeah. I say you should stay in the yeshiva for 2 years. Yeah? Minimum. What are you talking about? Ridiculous. First, give me 10 reasons that I'm right. You know, get into my framework. You understand? Number 8, for living, it's very essential when you're emotionally upset and you're fighting with your parents and they say you're wasting your life. You're fighting with your children and they say you're breaking my back. Yeah? You're fighting with your friends and there's emotional tension. Yeah? Very important. Give 10 reasons why they are right. So you'll understand their point of view. You'll understand where they're coming from. I mean,
well, yeah. Well, you say play the devil's advocate for the opposition. So isn't it logical when your Christian friend comes up to you and starts arguing, rather than go to a yeshiva, you go to his seminary and then you understand the
point? So Peter, that's why I explained to you. Peter's asking, play the devil's advocate. Fine. So that's why I... And why not for the Christians? So I explained. That when a man, love all humanity, right? When a man is attacking you, you're in danger, not love. Hate. Right? That's why the Almighty gave us hate. Yeah? Because we're in danger, hate. That's the way to fight. Now, hold it. I'm not saying that you should hate a guy who's got a different opinion. But why do we say, I don't want to talk? Danger. I'm going to have to give up my career. I'm going to have to give up the girlies. I'm going to have to give up the comfortable life. Oh, danger, I don't want to talk. Yeah, danger. Danger of what? I'll find truth. Play the devil's advocate. Does that make sense? Danger of giving up comfort? Play the devil's advocate. Give the guy a hearing, yeah? But here, a guy's coming to you, Christians. I don't know how to discuss with these people. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know my own religion. I don't know how to make decisions. Right? Yeah. Danger. I'm sorry. I don't want to discuss. But what are you going to say to the guy? I don't want to discuss. What's the matter with you? You say, look, friend, I don't know my own concept of God, my religion's concept of God. I don't know my mind. I don't know how to think. I have to learn how to think. I'll go to a yeshiva. That's where I got to check it out. I just want to tell you a little story. We once had a guy before I had yeshiva. I was one of the American rabbis in Israel who was living here 22 years ago. So a fellow walked in, somebody sent him to me because that was the address. His name was David Cohen from Kew Gardens. David, if you hear this on the tape, get in touch with me. It was a medical student and in the university, I forget which university, he was a Reformed Jew. He had no particular allegiance to Judaism. He was a humanitarian. He had friends, how they came. And he happened to get a couple of friends, witnesses. You ever hear the witnesses? Right? They're very, very dedicated missionaries. And these witnesses were friendly with him. He was friendly with them. They started talking about, you know, what you're living for. What do you mean, God is irrelevant? What's the matter with you, you know? And they hit home. It made sense. So they said to him, listen, you see that we're right, that there is a God. You got to relate to him. You got to find out. So come and join us. He says, wait a moment. Before I join you guys, yeah, I got to find out what Judaism is about. You know, we also talked about God. Yeah? Did we ever talk about God? We also talked about God, right? You remember? Right? I got to check it out. So he came to Israel to check it out. And it's 1 in 1,000. You follow? Otherwise, the guy says, oh, boy, pray with us. Hey, prayer is real. Oh, Yashka. Yeah, prayer is real. Hey, you know, Elohim, you know, Jews, come back. Hey, meditation is real. Oh, come, we got it. Come, come. That's loyalty. Does that make sense? That's loyalty. Let's check it out. Where, you know, where do Jews come from? Pardon me, you wanted to say something.
Well, you were on the subject of, let's say a Christian friend comes up to you and says, what about Christianity? Well, it seems to me you go to a university to learn science, a yeshiva to learn Judaism. Why wouldn't you go to him to learn a little bit about Christianity? Why wouldn't you go to a yeshiva?
Yeah, but the question is, you ask, why shouldn't you go to a Christian to learn Christianity? Certainly, I wouldn't want you to learn Judaism from in Moscow University, right? Yeah, should go to Jews to learn about Judaism. You're 100% right. Go to Christians to learn Christianity. But don't learn Christianity before you learn Judaism. That's all I said. Yeah? Now you say, okay, so Rabbi, you know Judaism, so why don't you go learn Christianity? I know Judaism. Why don't you go learn Christianity? Why don't you go learn Moonism? Why don't you go learn Buddhism? Why don't you go learn... My friend, that is an American concept. A big mistake. Americans think that you don't know what you know until you've heard all the different versions of reality. In Judaism, we say, you know what you know. You know what you know. You don't have to hear anything else. I don't have to hear all the different opinions about happiness or about love to know what I mean when I say I love you. I know. Hey, that's it. I got it. You don't have to hear all the different opinions as to whether you got 10 fingers or 11 or 12 or 15. I got 10 fingers. You want to prove to me that I got 12? Very interesting. Please. Yeah. I know who I am. You want to prove to me that I'm a flying snake? I'm not afraid. Please, let me have the proof, but I don't have to go through all the versions of what human beings are, monkeys and snakes. I know who I am. So if you know something, you don't have to find out where other people are coming from. You follow? If you know why you know it, what's the evidence, on what do you base it? If you believe something, then don't find out what other people believe. Find out why you believe what you do. At any rate, we're going back to 8, is that it's essential to know when you are emotionally upset with parents, when you're prejudiced against your friends, your children, give 10 reasons that they are right. Give your parents, particularly your wife. You're going to get married, you're going to have some arguments. Give 10 reasons that she's right. Then you'll try to understand her point of view. Do you understand? Otherwise, dong, dong, dong. She's got something to say, give 10 reasons that she's right. Am I making sense? Very important. Then you get into the wavelength. Do you follow what I'm saying? That you get into where she's coming from, even if she's wrong. But there's a reason that she's coming at you. Yeah? So you've got to go through 10 reasons. B of this is that it's a terrific technique of healing rifts. If you walk over to your parents and you say, look, these are the 10 reasons I've thought of that you're right. Would you mind giving me 10 reasons that I am right? Do you see that no argument can last under those conditions? Are you skeptical? If you walk over to your parents, you say, look, I got to decide what career that I want. Yeah, and they say, well, you don't know enough and you've got to do what we're telling you. Yeah. All right, so you give them 10. You are much more mature. You have a lot of experience in living. You know a lot more about careers than I do. 10 reasons that they're right, yeah? And then you hope that they'll give 10 reasons. A man has to make his own decision until how old are you before you choose your own career, etc. But you'll understand each other. You see that? Okay, Number nine is that, my friends, the same thing goes for the Jewish people. And that means, give us 10 reasons that we're right. 10 reasons that we're right for remaining Jews. 10 reasons that we're right for being loyal to the Torah. Before you dismiss us, it's loyalty. You really should give us 100 reasons that we're right. After all, we are the educators. We are the teachers of humanity. And you are included in humanity. We've taught you human rights, shalt not kill, love your neighbor, we are our brother's keepers, tolerance. We taught the world. That's a teacher. Give us credit. Yeah? Number 10 is, the same thing goes for your creator. You got to take it up to your creator. Give him 10 reasons that he's right. Don't hold no grudges. Think, 10 reasons that he's right. He's right about the Holocaust. No, 10 reasons. Figure out. Merciful God, just God, he's right. That's tough, huh? He deserves at least an advocate, a lawyer. Be his lawyer. Yeah? That makes sense? 10 reasons that he's right about throwing you down the stairs. Yeah? Yeah? 10 reasons. You know, try to get into his way. Yeah? If you believe in God, you understand that's what you have to do. You got a grudge against him, doesn't make sense. All right, Roman numeral 2 is make him smart. That was Roman numeral 1. How to use and consider him smart. But Roman numeral 2 is make him smart. So number 1 is make him smart is be critical. Don't swallow. For goodness sake, don't swallow. One of the proofs of Torah from Sinai is that the rabbis intentionally made misstatements to their students. Misstatements in logic, misstatements in facts. In the Talmud. And why? Why would the teachers do that to their students? So the rabbis say, l'chiduda, to sharpen them. What does that mean, to sharpen them? Because they had a class, they had 50 in the class, 1,000 in the class, and they say, do you understand? Do you agree? Do you see that? And woe to the fellow who said yes. What do you mean you understand? How the heck do you understand something that's not understandable? That's keeping you sharp, on your toes. So that's really a wise man who puts in a little bit of a twist in the thing to make the students check it out. Don't want zombies, parrots, tape recorders. Not if you have the truth. Not if you have the truth. If you're a good scientist, you want your students to be keenly critical, right? If you have the truth, the more critical they are, the more they're on their toes, the better off all of us are, right? If we have the truth, the more critical, don't swallow nothing. We don't want to swallow, yeah? So for goodness sake, don't swallow. Don't say, yeah, right. But be critical. What does critical mean? Check it out. Does it make sense? Do I understand? Do I perceive that this is true? Or not? You have to check it out. That's critical. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you are disturbed by anything, then analyze. What is it? My prejudice? There's something wrong with the definition for love. What's wrong? It's I don't like the idea that there is a definition. There's nothing wrong with the definition. Yeah? Right? Well, I think you can't define things like that. You can't define emotions. All right. Can't define emotions. I think, you know, you can't define emotions. That's right. You can't define emotions. So, ask your question. Right? Analyze what's bothering you. Something's bothering you. What's bothering you? Ask the question. How can you define emotions? So the answer is, you don't define emotion, you define what brings about this emotion. You say, you love, is this what you feel? Identify it, fine. That's making your teacher smart. What's bothering you, analyze it. Track it down and put it on the table. What's bothering you? Something's bothering you, track it down. Number three is that if you disagree and you think he's wrong, then for goodness sake, speak up. But after you analyze, don't speak up and say you're wrong. That's not speaking up. That's not the cheret. Figure out why do you disagree? What makes you think he's wrong? What's your evidence? What's your reason? Not just protest. You think he's wrong. You think there's a better definition. Say, pardon me. And in Jewish form, we say, when it's a teacher, a wiser man than you, couch it in terms I don't understand. It seems to me that that is not the definition. Say he's wrong intelligently. Now that includes in saying, I'm upset by your concept because it means that I have to work at happiness and I was awaiting happiness to descend on me. That's all right. At least you tell him what's bothering you. Yeah? I mean, it's a little embarrassing to state that as a reason, but the teacher knows, oh, I'm sorry, I'm stepping on your prejudices. I back off. Yeah? And maybe the pleasure is worth it, you know? Make sense? Number four is the best time to do this, at least at first, is after class. Because you're not used to tracking down your particular what disturbs you about something, but make a note of it. You know, put a big X, NG, yeah? On this point, yeah? And then after class, check it out. What's wrong? Discuss it with someone else or discuss it with your teacher. But doesn't mean at class you can say, I'm not trying to turn off the questions, yeah? But you'll feel more comfortable. You're not comfortable asking questions and it doesn't really make sense if you can't track down exactly. You're not used to tracking down. What's bothering you? Something that he's saying is off. What's off? Disagree with you? So make a note. Track it down, think it over, analyze it, what's wrong, and you'll get it. And then you come back. You say, look, this is why I think that you're wrong. And to a teacher, you should say, pardon me, I don't understand. It seems to me. Number five is, properly done, combine Roman numeral one with Roman numeral two, which means play the devil's advocate. Answer your own questions. What would I answer you? Take my role. Am I making sense? You have a question, you disagree, you can't define love, there's something. Take my role. Play the devil's advocate. First analyze what's wrong and then say, well, what would he answer? Save the teacher some time and broaden your own understanding of the concept by looking at it from another point of view. I have some opinions. Broaden the concept. Number six is that the idea over here is both of them, we have this power within us. And the whole thing is to be real. When you're real, you do this naturally. You don't swallow. You're critical. At the same time, you don't dismiss. So to give you an illustration of how you're real, is if I say to you, Scott, right? You know, and I'm serious. I look as if I'm serious. There's a few guys with Italian names from Chicago. They're looking for you. They say they have a score to settle with you. And I look as if I'm serious, yeah? An alert, danger, you take me seriously, and what do you say? Yeah? You don't dismiss, that's ridiculous. Why would the mafia be after me? You say, why would the mafia be? Did they say anything? Yeah? Did they say my full name? Give a description? Did they mention where they're coming from? Yeah. Why? Because you're serious. You mean business. Something tells you important. So you do, number one, you don't dismiss what the man has to say. And number two, you make him smart. Remember everything. What do they look like? I want to recognize him if I see him. Yeah? How do they wear their hats? You know, I remember a mafia picture. Let's see if that's them. Yeah? Making sense. So anything that you take serious, if you're real, somebody tells you, I'll teach you how to love humanity. I'll teach you how to know what you're living for. If you're real, You say, hey, this is important. This is important. That's real. Then naturally, what are you going to do? You're not going to say ridiculous. Even if it's outlandish. That true? You're going to check it out. You're going to ask him, what do you mean living for? What does that mean? I mean, I'm going to get some, I want to get a degree. That's not what I'm living for. What? Yeah, is that something disturbing me? You'll analyze it. You'll check it out. You'll come up with a, I'll give you proof that there's a God, that there's a heaven and hell. That's worse than the mafia, you know? Right? The phone say, nah, ridiculous. You know, say, wait a moment. What are you talking about? How do you know? Where's it coming from? You do both naturally. If you're real. If you take concepts as realities and appreciate their heaviness. Okay, number 7 is to give you the concept of how even the most ridiculous statement, we mentioned it in the beginning, even the most ridiculous statement, just because we're real, it's heavy, we treat with respect. And I focus your attention again if I tell you. You have a knapsack, nothing very precious in it, I'll turn it into solid gold. There isn't a human being around who'll tell me, that's ridiculous, that's stupid, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Yeah? Everybody will say, fantastic, friend. Marvelous. Go ahead. No, it's ridiculous statement. If there ever is a statement that's ridiculous, that's a statement that's ridiculous, yeah? But at the same time, because we're a little real, you know, I got nothing to lose. Gold is gold. There's really no danger around here, right? Go ahead! But for goodness sake, if the man turns it into gold in front of your eyes, don't say, it must be fool's gold. Oh, come on. Wow, I never expected this, yeah? All right, later you'll assay it, yeah? You'll see whether it's real gold or whether it's fool's gold, bronze, burnished as gold. I mean, don't go and try to sell it right off as solid gold, yeah? Right? But what are you going to ask him? Got any more tricks? How'd you do that? Yeah? So you said, this guy is going to teach me how to be happy. That's ridiculous. Define happiness. That's ridiculous. No sweat. No danger. Go ahead. Define it. Hey, you know, that makes sense. Check it out later whether that's really the definition. Don't swallow. This is mind-boggling. I've walked through my whole life thinking you can't define love. And love is something that happens to you. And here's this guy coming along and saying the Jewish people lived 3,500 years with the concept you can define love. Give him a hearing. It works. Say, how do you do that? Please explain to me, why am I disturbed? That's the way to be real. That's the way to be real. The assignment for today is, you've picked up something. You've been here a day, you've been here 2 days, you've been here 5 days. You picked up something. Take the 5 most precious pieces of wisdom. Play the devil's advocate. This is something that you need for living. You give 10 reasons you need it for living. And Machkim es Rabbo. Jewish people says so. The Torah says so. Rav Noach says so. Yeah? Fine. Make him smart. What's wrong? Analyze what's bothering you about this. Why aren't you using it? What's wrong? That's the assignment. Now, why do we need this? So, one of the things that we say is that human beings are essentially lazy. If we're not lazy, if we're real, we already showed you, you do 1 and 2 naturally. Somebody says the mafia is after you and he's semi-serious, he looks serious, you look again, you check it out, you ask him questions. If you're serious about living, and you've got to be serious about living, check it out, ask questions. Don't dismiss anything. And you've got to be serious about living. If you're not serious about living, you're not going to make it. But number 2 of the reasons why is that essentially human beings are shallow. You have to always be cautious. You have to always be cautious that you're getting the full depth of something. Only by asking questions. Listening to people and considering them smart and deep. Then you can get to a deeper level of understanding. Rabbis say, it takes 40 years to really understand what your teacher says. Because he's coming with something finished. takes 40 years. The third reason we need it is,
like most of the 48 ways, you need it because we're prejudiced. To get rid of prejudices, whatever we've bought is holy. Whatever you've bought is holy. You see that? Wherever you come from China, communism is holy. You come from America, capitalism is holy. Or society isn't so much for capitalism anymore. Okay, so socialism is holy. Whatever you come from. So you get over your prejudices, and to see truth, you have to be able to listen to another human being. Now, we just finished the 48 ways, but we haven't finished the 48 ways, because there are 50 48 ways. So tomorrow we'll go on 49, and then a number 50, and then I'll explain to you how come there are 50 48 ways, and how to turn your knapsack into gold.
You have been listening to Voices from Jerusalem. For a complete listing of our cassettes, see our web store at aish.com. For a free cassette catalog, email us at voices@aish.com or call toll-free in the U.S. 1-800-VOICES-3. Our main office is at 1 Western Wall Plaza, Jerusalem, Israel. Shalom from Jerusalem.